And now, it's time for the Talk of the Northwest, the 9 to noon show with Greg Hughes on Highland Radio.
Hello and a very good morning. You're very welcome along to the 9 till noon show. It's our last show of this week. It's Friday the 11th of April and it's approaching 5 minutes past nine, and we've got a cracking show lined up for you today. Very shortly, I'll introduce to you our Friday panel, and a little later on, we're going to be crossing live to Irish Pressings, a very impressive company with a huge turnover and a huge growth arc. It'll be interesting to hear more about that. They operate out of Gweedore, and we'll be chatting to the team, exploring their journey and finding out how Irish Pressings became a world-class name in engineering. That's all on the way between now and 12. Right, we want your views as we go through some of the news and topics this morning. And if you want to WhatsApp or text us, it's 086 60 25000, 086 60 25000, or if you wish to give us a call, it's 074 91 25000. We love your emails, comments at highlandradio.com, or for crying out loud, just watch the show and comment on our social media. If you're at home, we're on YouTube, Highland Radio Ireland. We're across our Facebook pages and on the X platform as well. Okay, we are saying good morning now to our panel. We'll say good morning first to Councillor Micheál Colm McGillan-Asbaugh, an independent councillor in the Glenties Municipal District. Good morning to you.
Imagine why.
Imagine why.
Hope you're well. Just want to give a big shout out to Mary Moose up in Scubble of Hubble, who's covering my drop-in this morning.
Thank you very much, Mary Moose. Brendan Byrne, who is CEO of the Irish Fish Processors and Exports Association, been known to opine on politics, been known to stand in politics and get elected. Good morning, Brendan.
Good morning, Greg, and good morning, listeners.
And we'll be joined shortly by Deputy Leader of Sinn Féin and Sinn Féin Spokesperson on Finance, Deputy Piers Doherty, shortly. Lots to get through. Donald Trump appears to have had his Liz Truss moment. Liberation Day was followed by Capitulation Day. US President Donald Trump pulled back on Wednesday on a series of harsh tariffs targeting friends and foes alike in an audacious bid to reshape and remake the global economic order. Mr. Trump's early afternoon announcement on Wednesday followed a harrowing week in which Republican lawmakers and confidants privately warned him that his tariffs could wreck the economy. His own aides had quietly raised alarms about financial markets before he suspended a tariff regime that he'd unveiled with a flourish just 1 week earlier in a Rose Garden ceremony. Or maybe it was all part of a master plan. Countries are keen to make deals, but for US consumers, prices are up. The uncertainty is unlikely to trigger companies moving en masse to produce in the US. And Trump has driven a wedge, arguably, too, between friends he may need to take on China, with whom he still battles. What's your takeaway from it all, Brendan Byrne?
Well, the first thing is, you know, if you had listened to Trump when he was campaigning, he promised he would bring a new world order, but he never really put substance into how he was going to do it. The reality is, he's very volatile. I think he's surrounded by equally volatile people. And the concept that he was going to tariff the world and that that was going to help the domestic market to stimulate, that economic theory is long since dispelled. So I think he had no economic basis to anything that he was doing other than throwing red meat to his redneck Republicans, which is very dangerous because, look, at the world order in economics hasn't been rewritten since John Maynard Keynes. And one thing Trump is, he's certainly not a Keynes. And the climb down by him, I think, was on the basis that the stock markets certainly were tumbling, but more so the American bonds and their yields were going out of control. And they're probably the most indebted country in the world, if truth be told. And any movement on the bond market was going to cripple America. Now he's left his country in turmoil.
How could he not have factored in, or his advisors have not factored in, that those he was taking on with the most stringent of tariffs were those that were potentially able to pull the rug from under him by selling off these bonds?
Well, I think there was an equal measure of naivety and stupidity in what he was doing. He thought the might of America would corral the world into run into him. I'm very skeptical either if 50 or 60 members, nation states, are actually going to negotiate on bilaterals with him. No country has been named apart from Japan, I think, to be fair. So look at I think common sense is to prevail in terms of America. We're relying heavily on the Democrats, and unfortunately, leadership is at a weak ebb within the Democratic Party. But one thing I do know about the Americans, they're very heavily dependent on stock markets right across the board. And I think if the stock markets keep tumbling, then there will be less and less decision-making left to Donald Trump, because the people will rise against this.
I'll come back to you. We are joined now by Deputy Piers Doherty, Sinn Féin spokesperson on finance. And in fairness to you, Piers, good morning to you, by the way. In fairness to you, you did advocate for the EU to tread gently on this at the beginning. And, you know, I think, I'm not sure if that advice was heeded. The EU did impose some tariffs, but didn't necessarily go with it so strongly that we found ourselves as a China, so to speak. So softly was the right approach with this man, given his volatility.
Yeah, look, it's a terrible space to be in when you're looking at tariffs and all the rest. And conscious when we're chatting to people here, you know, people are thinking, well, that doesn't really affect me, but it is potentially affecting jobs. And it's not just, you know, where there's a lot of talk about pharmaceuticals and stuff like that there. But, you know, we've pharma here in Donegal. We've car manufacturing parts here in Donegal. So that there are impacts as well. And look, places like Donegal can't take any blows because we've never seen the good times. This can trickle down. And the issue with the European response is that if Europe hits tariffs, if they hit with countermeasures of tariffs, basically all that does is put up the prices for Irish people buying American goods. So if you're going into your shop to buy a pair of Levi's, then it goes up 25% or whatever tariff that they want to put on it. Or if there's some other product that you're getting from America that is on your supermarket shelf. So we were very cautious in relation to this year and thought that it would be a negative thing from jobs and from prices to actually hit back. But most importantly, we were of the view that the best actually friend you would have in relation to this year was America itself. Because what has played out here is not just a number of things that Brendan has talked about. You've had tens of thousands of people on the street protesting. That's before there's even prices have gone up because the tariffs didn't kick in at that stage. You've had defects in relation to the Senate. Four Republicans moved and voted with the Democrats against tariffs in Canada. You've had the major investors, the people who bankrolled Trump's campaign, coming out and calling his moves basically stupid. And most importantly, then probably what was the tipping point for him was the moron risk factor, as it's called. This is where Liz Truss came up with a number of policies, and the bond market basically installed a moron risk premium. And basically put bond yields really, really high and forced her to move back.
That was Trump's real problem here, wasn't it? And I'll put it to Brendan Byrne. Could he not have envisaged that those that hold influence over the bond markets are some of the countries that he was imposing some of the most, some of the biggest tariffs on?
Yeah,
An actual fact, I was going to just give a contrarian view to Pierce. I think Trump would have got away with it were it only for the fact that China came back so strong. I think the European approach, while it's good for the European consumer, it's the fact that China went head to head with Trump on tariffs that spooked the bond market. And if you look at that, the tit for tat rise in the tariffs on trade, inter-trade between China and America, each time the tariff raised, the bonds yields stretched and the markets were spooked. Now, had China not done that, I don't know where we would be today, because one thing Trump is, he's an extremely arrogant man and misguided. So I think we owe China more than we realise.
All right. Well, Micheál Colum, I was watching a video yesterday posted by the White House, and Donald Trump, you know, he points to one guy and says, this guy's clever. He made a trillion or something, or billion. I don't know what it was. And another guy, he made 900 billion because, he'd put out in his social media, now is a good time to buy. And those with money bought big when the stocks were low. Which raises question marks over insider trading, potentially. I don't know the ins and outs of all of this stuff. But Micheál Colum, watching on as just regular people, you know, as these big boys sort of really make these arrogant decisions, it's a hard watch.
Yeah, I'm kind of a bit days here. I never thought I would see the day that Brendan Byrne would be on radio praising communism, like China. So, but
China is no longer a communist state. It's very much capitalist principles. You should know that, Mr.
Well, yes. Brendan, I'm more than happy to debate that with you and your part, right?
Maybe another time.
You know, Michelle Markey. No, look, yeah, I think Brendan's right when he first spoke about the volatility there of Trump. And if you look at China and many other countries around the world, like, they're not reactionary in any sense. They play a very, very long game. But this game here has been played out by the capitalist classes, the very wealthy in our society, who generally tend not to lose massively, but who will lose is what Pierce was saying earlier about how it impacts us here on the ground, and that includes even right into West Donegal, and how that will impact, even if you look at our Bonded Distillery and how they were looking towards the American market and other manufacturers. But again, this is a game played out by the capitalist elites in this world, and Donald Trump, and many had predicted that he would be as volatile as he is. And it's very sad, I have to say, that the support that he gets within the whole country, and especially from a lot, not all, of Irish Americans who believed he was going to be a great saviour of the white super race. But yeah, it has a huge impact on the economics. I'm not going to come on here and pretend that I know anything about economics. All I do know is that it affects the community that I represent, right down to our own household, which has huge potentials in making poor people poorer.
Pierce, it's very hard to figure out what his next move is, or what's on or off the table. Do you believe that Donald Trump still is intent on imposing pharmaceutical industry-specific tariffs, or is he starting to realise that it's not quite as simple as imposing tariffs, and then everyone, you know, pulls up their industry and moves to the United States? Because that makes medicine more expensive for Americans, like, right?
Yeah, look, trying to get inside Donald Trump's brain is a dangerous place to be in the first instance. But you would need to be a very wise person to try and figure out what he's going to do, because it changes from minute to minute. The indications have been that the big pharma got to him before the 2nd of April announcement, and they explained to him that they can't move their plants to the US. Basically, if a pharma decision, if you're hearing a pharma decision today, just say Abbott's or Randox or whatever is doing a line here. That decision is done 6-7 years ago. That's the lead-in period in terms of pharma. So it's not a case that they can just replace. And there is a huge issue here in terms of medicines, obviously, in terms of America, not just the cost of Americans, but actually the potential supply of medicines. That's why we've had a global issue in terms of the World Trade Organization, where there is zero rates and tariffs, that you shouldn't have any tariffs on medication and pharmaceuticals, because it's a health issue. It's about people's lives at the end of the day. So will he do something? He's very, very clear that he wants to do something. He may be looking at the issue of tax as opposed to tariffs, but God knows. What we do know is, Greg, is we've 3 months. And, you know, Trump is always the big, great disruptor. He's like the fella who goes into the meeting room. He grabs the table and, throws it upside down and grabs the chairs and throws them out the window and says, right, let's talk now, you know. So that's kind of what he's done. He's completely, you know, as Michael says, he's playing with people's lives here. You know, there's contracts already being lost as a result of what's happened here. There's an impact already. And even though he's not doing the 20% for Europe and other percentages for different countries, there is still now a 10% tariff across the globe. There's a 25% tariff.
But that just makes, how long will he stick with that? Because that just makes things more expensive for American people. You know, because the dividend isn't there. The pharmaceutical companies rushing to America, Apple deciding to build phones, Nike potentially making trainers over there. That's nonsense. None of that is going to happen. So the tariffs as they are set out now, really only, I mean, obviously they could affect trade between the country and America, but really there's no upside for the American consumer. It's just prices that are up.
I think
you're 100% right.
I'll come back to you, Micheál Coleman, in a sec. Yep.
Sorry, Pierce.
Right, no, go ahead, Micheál Coleman. We wanted to come in there. It's grand.
No, sorry, Pierce. I mean, no, No, look, I think what's going to be very interesting here in terms of how the working class in America responds to this here, when it does hit their pockets, and even right down to the rednecks states where they had strongly supported Trump. But when they see more people on the streets and when they see more people queuing for food banks, I think that there will be a response. We did see, and I'm not sure, by Pierre Seducha earlier about the thousands of people on the streets before the increases even started. So I think America, and it's been predicted by a lot, go over back the years, that there could be a huge massive divide that could spill out onto the streets in America. And there is a divide in terms of blue and red, but at the end of the day, like they're much of the same. They're just a different form of capitalism that beats the working class. But I think that the working class in America could rise, and it'll be interesting to see how the working class rises and how they will respond.
Okay.
We do see that there's a massive move in America, not moving away from the economic debate here, but in terms of what's happening, deportation of people from Central America, Latin America, blacks being deported, people wrongly deported, people lifted off the streets. Anybody that opposes what the Zionists are doing to the Palestinians, there's a territorial state being built, and America's moving very, very closely every day.
Well, that's why a lot of people voted for Trump.
Can I just come in here? The irony is, Greg, as you know, that Donald Trump got the highest working class vote, or blue-collar vote, as they call it in America, of any Republican president in the last 60 years. And that's the irony. It's in the states such as Michigan and Wisconsin and Pennsylvania, it was the working class that put Trump in just 90 days ago, 100 days ago, whatever it is. But I think where we are now is very clear, and it's not unlike where Liz Truss was. The president of America is now a prisoner of the stock market and bond yield market. And I think he'd be very reluctant to make bold moves. And I think Pierce is 100% right. And in fairness to Sinn Féin, as the main opposition party in Ireland, they called this right before the government made their position known. And that was very responsible on their part.
What I think is interesting about this is that, and just given how much we know about Donald Trump and his personality and stuff, that his reputation or legacy is perhaps more important, actually, than the prosperity of the United States. And I'm just interested to see, do you don't agree, Brendan? He's more interested in how he's remembered. He's more interested in...
The guy's got a great ability to isolate himself from all the facts around himself and create a narrative about himself as the great negotiator, the great...
I think this is different. I have a feeling this is going to be different because the people that was referenced a little earlier on, the working classes, are probably going to start seeing through this, and he won't have the mass support or even Fox News potentially to make his truth.
The American political system between the House, the Senate, and the presidency are all aligned. And you can see time and time again what he did with Ukraine, the Votre-faced policy that he did in Ukraine and in Israel and Gaza. This man has complete power. And there's no one or very few in the Senate that will break rank. There doesn't seem to be anyone in the House that's going to call Trump to halt.
There is a huge concern there in terms of when... Because I do believe it's very possible that the working class could start rising, and how he responds. Look at American history throughout this last even 100 years. When you look at the response when working classes started organizing, from the Black Panthers to the Chicano movement to any progressive movements, that how they were dealt with, and that was dealt with what bullets and even bombs in America itself.
So back to the point, the working class of America elected this lunatic.
Yeah, but the working class in America, or the working class, have elected lunatics over many, many years.
He also had a very strong vote amongst the black community as well, and Hispanic community.
They have elected and voted against their own self-interest.
We shall see. The one thing about Donald Trump is that he's unpredictable. Last word before the break, Pierce Doherty, Deputy Pierce.
Yeah, look, Brendan's right in terms of where he got his support, but remember the big commitment he gave was that he was going to bring prices down. That was the major issue.
And all he's been able to talk about so far is eggs. And I'm not being anti-Trump here. Right, but that quite
that's because the eggs were $20 for half a dozen. It was ridiculous. But like the reality is, like, you have a lot of people that are disenfranchised in America. During the inflation, there wasn't the supports there that we would have seen in other member states to support families. And they it was mad, but they went to the Trump because Trump made them these promises, which he's now about to break. The big thing for Trump is, and he's got clever people around him, like, let's not, you know, underestimate this guy, you know. But the issue is when you have, like, the bond markets going crazy, sorry, the markets going crazy and dropping, what's supposed to happen is bond yields are supposed to drop, which makes his debt refinancing issue, which is a major issue in America, a lot cheaper. What happened this week was the actual opposite, because the bond markets, even though investors were saying no point going into the markets, that's like into, like, you know, Tesla and Apple and all the rest, because the prices are dropping. So they go for something stable, which is U.S. Treasury. But they're saying that's not stable
but just
anymore.
In relation
they can't
to
trust
that,
America anymore, and that's a big issue.
Just a brief one in relation to that, for those of us who may not have as much knowledge as others. Given the fact that he's now suspended most of these tariffs, does that make the bonds more attractive again, or is the damage and uncertainty locked in at least for a period of time?
What you've got, like, the markets responded immediately, right? So that's the stock markets responded immediately. But the following day, it dropped again. Why? Because nothing really has changed. The war with China is still there, which is two major global economies. And there's a 10% tariff in the rest of the world with a threat that could actually increase. So, and the stock market is still very, very, or the bond market is still very, very volatile. So it's not going back to where it was. So they're very, the issue here is that Trump is unpredictable and they can't be certain what he's going to do next. And that's the big issue. Now, my view is he always wanted negotiations and he went about this the wrong way. So we need to, in all of this here, Europe's going to have their own agenda. There's big agendas of Europe. Like, NATO was a major, major part in relation to this, folks, as well, in terms of EU now arming up. And, like, we can't be caught in the middle. That's why in these negotiations, Ireland's interest, looking through the prism of Ireland's jobs, Ireland's consumers, and the finances in Ireland has to be front and centre, because we could get, you know, we're part of the European Union, but Germany has different priorities than we have. And you can see the issues here, for example, today, Greg, on the Financial Times, the front page, it's von der Leyen saying that American tech basically is in the crosshairs. Mm. And if that's in the crosshairs, that's basically Irish. That's Irish jobs, because that tech is all in Ireland. So there's big issues here if Europe decides to go down that road, which could really, really hurt Ireland.
And people might argue that people might argue that we've seen in Brexit with our fishing industry and other things, that if it comes to the big deal, Ireland can be thrown under the bus. Okay, back with more from our guests after these. Now, the HSE issued another release this week stating Letterkenny University Hospital was quite literally full. There were 34 people at one point admitted, awaiting on a bed, the ED overrun. Not to mention another protest being planned calling for improved cancer services. And add on to all of that, reported issues, not exclusively all over the county, but certainly in certain parts of the county, that people are being given GP appointments 1 week down the line in certain areas. And question marks too over some of the services now being provided by NowDoc. I'm going to chuck into here, actually, something I read this morning I've always been an advocate of the deals that are made with those supporting the government to be made published and also for them to be priced. I think that's in the public interest, right? Reading today that a deal between independent TD Barry Hennehan and the government does in fact include the newly approved €103 million ED unit in Beaumont Hospital, yet we were repeatedly told that no pacts were made for support. But anyway, back home. Micheál Colm, I'll start with you on this one, if that's all right. What will it take to fix the health service in Donegal? And I suppose, and I'm conscious that there are perhaps quite a portion of people listening to us that their local hospital is Sligo University Hospital, right, if you're south of the gap. But for the majority here, it all starts with the hospital. How do we fix it?
Well, first, I would be advocating very strongly for a left government. That certainly would be a very positive step forward. A government that would actually have a genuine interest in health of its people, a government that wouldn't be looking to downgrade a healthcare system in the interest of the private sector. All you have to do is look at the private hospitals that are popping up all around the whole free state, so that isn't happening by chance. And we've seen the neoliberal policy of government adopted Thatcher's policy in terms of health. So we need to look at the broader picture and the ideology of Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael over many decades.
Well, people were offered change in the last election and didn't take it. So what can we do, I suppose, in the absence of that change that you call for?
No, more than what Pearce was saying earlier about pharma, these decisions aren't done on a whim. These decisions are made and it's a long-term decision. So we need to talk about the reality of the ideologies of those that people are electing. But first, I would also like to state the fantastic work that has been done by the staff, and nobody doubts that whatsoever. We see that the waiting times in terms of A&E is getting longer. In terms of community care has been shut down. Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael consistently have closed down our community hospitals, basically, which it stands now as more care homes. And all this here has an impact. You mentioned the NowDoc service, huge questions there, and the service that has been provided, not by the working class who work there. So there's a whole range, and it'd be very easy and it'd be very popular to single out one or two people. But I think there's a broader issue that has to be discussed.
Okay, well, if you don't, that's fine. That okay, I'm no, not. I know it's also very important, but just if you allow me to come back on that. Sorry. That's fine. No, it's okay. Don't say sorry. But there are other hospitals in this country that are very well resourced. There are other hospitals in this country that have much shorter waiting lists. Mayo, for an example, people fare far better than they might in Donegal in terms of access to certain services. Sligo University Hospital is better funded than Letterkenny University Hospital. So even under this regime that you talk of, right, geographically, there are parts of this country where the hospitals function much better than in other parts of it. So within the framework that we have to work in, what does or could be done to make Letterkenny University Hospital better serve its people, notwithstanding the amazing staff? Everything they do is fantastic when you get in there, but something